Hello and welcome back to There's a Book for That, a podcast in which I, your host, Rumbi, talk about books that I've read and apply some of their lessons to everyday life. Today's minisode is going to be much shorter than usual, is an adaptation of a post that I wrote earlier this year for my blog, but I've adapted it to apply to what's been going on for the last couple of months. We are facing an unprecedented event, one that we're able to see every day. We have regular updates on all the deaths, on the people being murdered, and what people think about that. Usually these things happen a little more secretly, and we only get to see what happened after. And it got me thinking about parasocial relationships. Today's episode is about that, in which Mboska writes a thank you note to those that she does not love, those with whom she does not share parasocial relationships. In a world that is increasingly groaning under the weight of all the awful things going on, I wrote this 6 months ago, I thought I knew what awful meant. I had no idea. A poem by one of my favorite poets, Wisława Szymborska, keeps ringing in my head. In it, Szymborska, a Nobel laureate from Poland, whose work I first encountered as a student and have failed to evolve beyond, confronts us with an interesting paradox. We owe a debt to those we do not care about, precisely because they don't ask anything of us, thereby allowing us the modicum of peace. We also owe them nothing, because we do not know them, and they cannot make demands of us that loved ones can. It makes it easier for us to do everything else that we need to do without worrying about everyone, everywhere. And so Szymborska writes this poem, a thank you note. I read, I owe a lot to those I do not love. Relief in accepting others' care for them more. Joy that I'm not wolf to their sheep. Peace be with them, for with them I am free. Love neither gives nor knows how to take these things. I don't wait for them from window to door, almost as patient as a sundial. I understand what love never called. I forgive what love never willed. Between rendezvous and letter, no eternity passes, only a few days or weeks. Our trips always turn out well. Concerts I enjoyed, cathedrals toured, landscapes in focus. And when seven rivers and mountains come between us, they are the rivers and mountains found on any map. The credit's theirs if I live in three dimensions, in a non-lyrical, non-rhetorical space, with a real, ever-shifting horizon. They don't even know how much they carry in their empty hands. I owe them nothing, love would have said, on this open topic. End quote. So these are pretty words on a page, and a bit of truth perhaps, but in reality it's much harder to act on, especially now. Perhaps when Szymborska was writing, the world was smaller, and it was therefore easier to work out who you loved and who was other. I long for simpler times. When I wrote this early in 2023, I was in mourning. I suppose I still am. I lost someone who, in my mind, would bury me. And even though I've lost many people and it's been over a year, I'm still struggling to move on. The record of my life is stuck. Less so now, I guess. Perhaps. The record of my life is stuck. And I have less energy than I need to move the needle, to change the track. This loop of dysfunction is the last link to a life I once lived, in which most things were broken, but one thing worked perfectly. I have lost that which never skipped a beat, a timepiece by which I could set the rhythm of my life, the straight edge without which I will now forever be askew. And this is where Szymborska comes in. I am more fragile now, and thus more afraid. I owe a lot to those whom I can give a perfunctory kiss on the cheek and move on. But our lives are all so connected now that sometimes I struggle to keep the necessary distance. There are strangers out there of whom I am at risk of becoming fond. They make me laugh. I trust their judgment. I love their work. I appreciate them and those strangers in some small way that have been woven into the tapestry of my life. I recently found myself in tears, thinking about two TikTok creators whom I follow who were or are unwell. I considered unfollowing them because I didn't want to find out if they eventually didn't make it. I still might. During the early days of the COVID pandemic, a South African Twitter user whose content I'd only seen when someone else retweeted them passed away. She was a doctor and a national treasure, as I then found out. The outpouring from people who had known her was continuous, and I was in tears thinking about this beautiful life cut short. Periodically, someone will mention her, and I will still feel a twang. A few months later, another death, this time a South African chef whom I did follow. I cried as though he had been my own family. Life seemed brutally unfair. I will not labor the point, listener. I'm sure you remember the uncertainty of those days. As I record this, it's been barely 10 days since we lost Zahara, Benjamin Zephaniah, and Andrew Brower, all incredibly young. There are also those for whom I am continuously concerned. I don't know them either. My mind turns to them with the rain and the storms and the turning of the seasons. Some are far away, strangers in turmoil whose lives I have not the resources to improve. I think of people in Yemen, a country that I can barely find on a map, which is still at war, and which has jumped into another war in defense of people. I think of the mothers of young people killed in protests in Iran. I don't know if you remember, but there was one lady following the funeral procession and just calling out her son's name. I think of the lady journalist from Malta who was murdered for the excellence of her investigative reporting. The many young black and indigenous women who go missing and no one says anything. The lady who passed away in her home and wasn't found for years. I think about them a lot. I wish to cut these threads because I feel so powerless. These strangers exist in my mind. I know of them, but they don't know of me. I wish sometimes that I didn't know about them at all. The weight of the knowledge of all the sadness in the world rests heavily on my chest when I see them through these eyes. And so I turn wearily to Chimboska and remind myself that they don't know. They don't know that I think about them, that their pain grips my heart. And so I can just pretend that they don't exist. I don't owe them a thing. They are nothing and nobody to me. Those were not my eyes that cried at their funerals, nor my hands that held them for the last time. I can just walk away. I can just forget. Well, I try. I owe a lot to those I do not love. Those whose deaths may move me but will not break me. Those whose absence will not gnaw away until there's nothing left of me. Those whose faces I can forget, whose names I can never remember. I owe them a lot and I wish I had more to give because they allow me my sanity. No one will look at me askance if I say to most of the 8 billion humans on this planet, I hope someone loves you, but I'm glad it's not me. No one will judge me, but I remember my debt. So as I said, I wrote this 6 months ago and I updated it on 19 December to say, but perhaps that was the wrong conclusion. There are so many people in Palestine whose death will break the world, whose deaths have already broken us, whose distance has been overcome by love. We are now even further away from that reality. That world in which we could say these people are strangers, they are far away, I don't know them. That world is gone. For some of us, we now wake up and we look for the news to make sure that these people are okay because our lives are now so inextricably linked with theirs, interwoven into the tapestry of their lives, their stories, and they into ours, that the idea that one day from this random account on Instagram, on TikTok, on Twitter, there might be silence breaks us. We're unable to move, unable to think. There are those of us who are so deeply invested, but the sure knowledge that we must all die and that death may come earlier than we want, than we expect, is breaking us slowly. I will not mention any names, but it used to be comforting to think, yes, there are those with whom I can have distance in the world, to whom I owe nothing. But as we've seen over the last couple of months, sometimes that distance is not enough. I think all the time about people living in camps in Western Sahara, in West Papua, in Haiti. People that we will never know, whose stories we're not so exposed to, whose lives are still hidden from us. And yet now, I find myself pecking away like a chicken at the ground, looking for these stories. What's happening in Sudan? What's happening in Congo? I'm so motivated now to learn the languages that I've been trying to pursue for the past however many years, because I want to be able to read these people's stories, to watch their stories, and to understand. I want to expand my heart to be able to welcome more people in, knowing that this will surely break my heart even more. How do we justify these parasocial relationships in the middle of such devastating conflict? Of course, they, Palestinians, Sudanese people, Haitians, Congolese people, need our love and support. But in line with Chimboska, I'm grateful that I do not know any of the little children forced to dig for coltan. But what if we did? I'm grateful that I don't know any of the women who've been sexually assaulted by militias in Sudan. That I don't know any of the anxious mothers forced to flee their homes in Congo, Palestine, or Sudan. I'm grateful, really, that TikTok is not full of more stories from Yemen, where war has been raging for years, or sweatshops in Asia, where young people lose their childhoods to looms and sewing machines. My goodness, what a world. Can you imagine if next year all these people began to tell their stories and we began to see them holding a piece of fabric that looked like the dress that we just bought? You might not be able to see the coltan in your phone, but you can definitely recognize the fabric of the clothes that you're wearing. Perhaps running away from these parasocial relationships is not the way forward. We've seen such outpourings of support for Palestine because people have been able to see on a daily basis the conditions on the ground. Perhaps similar reporting from every mine, every shop, every so-called fair trade farm would help us to understand how connected our world is, the effect of our actions, our buying, our boycotts, and we would be better placed to make tangible differences. I don't want to run away. It's very tempting to join Chimboska and say thank you for not being one of my problems to people who are far away, whose faces are unfamiliar. But in the most connected version of Earth that has ever existed, is this really possible? Perhaps this is the lesson. Maybe this is the counter for what Chimboska says. To be able to say, actually, I owe just as much to those whom I love from a distance as to those who I love from nearby. And to be brave enough to embrace that love, even though it's like pulling a sword into your own body. Perhaps there is freedom in accepting that we've been hijacked by love, by our shared humanity, by our need to have clean hands in our buying habits, the need not to be complicit in genocide or any pain inflicted on other human beings. Perhaps it is the task of our lives to accept that, in fact, we do owe a lot, even to those whom we do not love, to those with whom we share no familial bonds, no language, no culture. We owe just as much to their humanity as we do to those we love and care about. Perhaps it is by doing so that we can build a more equal world, a fairer one, a kinder one. I will go to bed and wake up and check on my unknown loved ones, and I hope that I find the courage to expand that circle, to go beyond and extend the debt of love to those whom I do not know. I will tie myself up with them and refuse the freedom that comes from being able to say I did not know, and allow myself to be kidnapped into their world, their struggles. We owe each other the world, really, when you think about it. Unknown hands grow our food, make our clothes, medicine, shelters. Unknown feet trudge up and down to make sure that we have what we need, that our travel is safe, that the schools and hospitals stay open. Unknown eyes open first thing in the morning to open our favorite coffee shops and make our favorite soups. We owe a lot to those we do not love. We owe them a hell of a lot, and I, for one, am ready to pay my debt. Thank you for listening. Join me next week when I will once again be talking about Chimbosko, but much sadder, much more difficult. We'll be talking about the aftermath of war. Thank you.